All right. Go ahead and take your Bibles, book of 1 Peter this morning. Going to finish something up that we started a few weeks back before the midwinter retreat. And started in on this lesson, didn't get quite enough time to finish it, so we're going to venture back to it. 1 Peter chapter 2, and appreciate that, Brother Nathan, wherever you went. Oh, he's gone. All right. Refill. No, that was excellent, and that again, goes right around along with the point that we were talking about being involved in church. You know, if you're a Christian, it is God's will for you to be a part of a local church. And I can say that for every single one of you in here. You know, there are some believers who have, for whatever reason, become too busy or separated from or got their feelings hurt or something like that. They've stopped going to church, but that's never God's will for anybody. And, the being a part of a community, a Christian community, is super important, and it strengthens us. It gives us a platform to worship God. And then the church is the vehicle that the Lord has chosen to reach the world. And that's where missions comes in, and that's where these trips come in. And just a great opportunity, and hope that you'll value the church that the Lord has put in your life. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12, I want us to see here a verse that's just packed with a lot of great stuff, but goes along with our first point that we're looking at here. Notice verse 12, it says, having your conversation or your lifestyle honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. We've been looking at a few weeks ago, we started in on the topic, at least, of the things that you can lose as a Christian. We talked about the fact that salvation is not one of those things, and praise the Lord for that. You know, there are some people believe that every time that you sin, there went your salvation. Your eternal security is now, well, you don't have it because you sinned. And now that you have broken fellowship with the Lord, well, you're going to hell again. Sorry. Boy, what a terrible way to live. I mean, there are some times that I do something wrong, and maybe because of just what's going on, I don't really think too much about it. And then the Holy Spirit, maybe a couple days later, begins to work on me a bit. And I think, you know what, that wasn't right. I shouldn't have done that. And, man, I'll tell you what, if my eternal security was predicated on the fact that I've got to be sinless all the time, well, I mean, there's not one of us that would have much hope, right? Because we are sinners, have been saved by grace, and according to God's word, that means that we are sealed. And that's a blessing. Our salvation is not up for grabs, so to speak. It's not something that can waver. It is something that is sealed and that we are secure. And that's a great blessing. So we can't lose our salvation, but there are some things that we can lose. And according to 1 Peter chapter 2, we're noticing the fact that a Christian can lose their testimony. We noticed some examples of that. Maybe you remember us talking about Lot. Lot, we know, was a believer. The book of Hebrews talks about how his righteous soul was vexed, meaning that with all of the wrongdoing that he was a part of, there was still something on the inside that was bothering him about his sin. And so we see that his testimony here, especially with his family, was not good. He didn't have much of a testimony for the Lord. And we notice that because we see the dialogue that he's having with between himself and his kids. And he goes in, he says, listen, hey, the Lord's going to destroy this place. We need to get out. What does the Bible say? They mocked him and they laughed at him. You know, this would maybe be the equivalent to, if you were in Lot's shoes, you know, running into your coworkers, maybe that you worked with, and you don't have a good testimony at work, or they don't even know that you're a Christian, and you run in, you say, hey, God's judgment is upon this place. You know, what would they do? Would they turn and they say, what, you know, God, who, you've never talked about him before. What are you doing? You know, or would they say, wow, yeah, you know what? Listen, if they say it, then I'm going to listen. And, you know, the Lot here didn't have much of a testimony, and it's sad because even with his family, he didn't have one. We see David as well was another example of this. 2 Samuel chapter 12. We see here that Nathan, the prophet, has to come in and he's got to speak rebuke to David, and David then acknowledges his transgression, and that's a great thing, but it took a while. And David essentially he lost his testimony. He lost his testimony with his kids. He lost his testimony with the people that were under him, and he made a big mistake, and it took him a long time to try to repair that. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 says, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." And so I would just ask you this morning, sort of evaluate the testimony that you have for the Lord. And what is a testimony? When we talk about having a testimony, what does that mean? Somebody just give me some general things. What is a testimony? What do you mean? Are we talking about raising your hand in a service and I had an answer to prayer? You know, is that the testimony we're talking about? I mean, Micah. Okay. All right. Yes. Okay. All right. Does your testimony have more to do with the inward or the outward? All right, Brother Matt, you got a thought? Okay. All right. How many of you think it has to do with the inward? Raise your hand. How many of you think it has to do with the outward? Raise your hand. How many of you think it has to do with both? Raise your hand. Okay. All right. It's kind of a trick question, but generally speaking, when we talk about a testimony, we're talking about a reputation. Okay. Your reputation, specifically in regards to your relationship with Christ, what you believe about the Lord. Okay. So most of the time, that's going to be outward. Now, does that flow from the inside out? Well, it should, but let me ask you this question. Is it possible for a person to have a good outward testimony, but not be close to the Lord on the inside? Let me ask you this. Does that happen? Let me ask you this. Does it happen with us? Okay, don't shake your heads, all right? Hey, listen, maybe sometimes it does, but listen, that's something for us to think about. You know, we should value our outward testimony for Christ. That's something that we should do, okay? But it should not become more important than the person that we are on the inside. Because when that happens, what does the Bible tell us that we are? What is the label that the Bible gives us when our outward testimony is not in agreement with where we are on the inside? Yes. We're a hypocrite, okay? We're putting on the show, okay? We're an actor. We're putting on the face, okay, so to speak, all right? In other words, you're not real, okay? You're not who you profess yourself to be. And can I tell you, that's a dangerous way to live. That is a dangerous way to live. And there may be some people in this room who care more about their outward testimony than they do with their inward walk with God. Can I tell you, it's good to care about what other people think about you in relation to Christ. But can I tell you that you are on the path to destroying your outward testimony based on the actions of your inner heart? Does that make sense? Does that make sense? You guys with me? Should I restate? Okay, I'm not seeing too many heads here, okay? All right, either you're thinking about something else or I'm not making sense. It could be the latter, all right? All right, so what I'm saying here is a person that on the inside, okay, is not following the Lord, okay, but rather they're just going through the motions on the outside, protecting themselves so they think that everyone else believes that they are walking with the Lord. You are on the path, okay? You are making preparations that will eventually show on the outside. Okay, James talks about that. He says it's a vain religion. Okay, and eventually he says a man that bridleth not his tongue. Okay, that man's religion is vain. What is he saying? He's saying you want to know the inner workings of a person's heart. Listen to the words that they say. Because eventually, something's going to come out. And that's the truth. A person that maybe is not real, someone who's playing the game or someone who's being hypocritical, looks good on the outside, but inside they've got doubts inside. They're not living for the Lord. That person can only remain that way so long. OK, Okay? You may be able to fool your parents for a time. You may be able to fool the people around you for a time. But eventually, that's going to come out. It always does. It always does. You'll slip up. You'll say something that just kind of floated out there. I don't know where it came from. You'll end up doing something. And that's the way it always is. But for us, what we're looking at is the fact that a testimony is something that you can lose. But the question that I posed to you last time around, I don't know if you remember this, is this. Is it possible for the Lord to restore your testimony? Is it possible for a person who's destroyed their testimony? You take somebody like Lot, who obviously had no testimony with his family. You know, that's a terrible, it's a sad place to be. Take somebody like David, who you know, had everything to live for and had built a great testimony in Israel, and yet he's blown it. What about the future for those individuals? And what about the future for us when we've slipped up? We've blown our testimony for Christ. What does the future hold for us in those situations? Is it possible for the Lord to restore our testimony? What do we think here today? Any thoughts? Micah, you thinking about it? Okay. All right. Okay, Brother Matt?
Saul's hurting the ball.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay, yes? Okay, all right, so Emmanuel, if you didn't hear that, he says you can't restore everything because you can't undo things that you've said. You can't undo some of the actions that you've done. Okay, all right, let's look at a passage really quick. Joel chapter 2, go there with me, Joel chapter 2. It's Old Testament there. You're getting close to the New Testament once you find Joel. And this is a beautiful truth. I want you to find chapter 2 here. It's talking about the Lord's judgment upon Israel. But then he says, after the judgment has taken place, after things have been blown up, after things have just been desolated, notice what he says. Joel chapter 2, and let's look at verse 25. He says this. He says, I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten. And he goes on further. And the principle is this, okay? I believe that the Lord can restore your testimony, okay? But that starts, okay, with the first step. And for a person who has not had a good testimony for Christ, okay, in other words, for a person to look at you and sort of scratch their head at like, wow, you're a Christian, or, you know, you've said some things or has seen you do some things. When you find yourself in that position in need of a restored testimony, number one, you've got to make it right. And that's the way the Lord begins to restore the years that the locusts have eaten. It's when someone turns to him. You know, it's so simple, and yet so many people delay that step. Israel delayed that step repeatedly. We looked at in our devotionals this week, and I don't know if you've had it yet or not, but you find where Israel for 20 years, okay, the Ark of the Covenant was taken, and for 20 years they just decided to not do anything until Samuel comes up and says, hey, you know, turn to the Lord. And they turned to the Lord. It was great. But that's 20 years. You know, hey, let's not make that mistake. Okay? When we understand that, wow, my testimony has been deficient for the Lord, you know, the best thing to do is just to turn to the Lord and say, Lord, you know what? I need your help. I want to live for you. I want to be different. I don't want to say those things anymore. I don't want to be a poor testimony for you. Lord, would you help me do that? And it starts with a turning to the Lord. But then it also follows through with seeking forgiveness from others. You know, sometimes you have to go around and do damage control. Sometimes you got to step back and survey the damage that's happened and say, you know what? These people need to know that I'm not okay with the actions that I've done. And sometimes that means it's a difficult conversation where you go to someone, you ask for forgiveness, and you say, look, that's not who I am. I'm a Christian, and I want to follow Christ, and that wasn't the right testimony. Will you forgive me? You know, those are hard things to do, but listen, that is the path to a restored testimony. And that's a place that we all have to be sometimes. There are things that we have to make right, and certainly the Lord would have us to do that. Well, let's very quickly go ahead. He says here, we see that as a Christian, you can lose your testimony. Let me just say this as a side note. We spent way too long on this just to begin with, but understand this is not about what people think about you. Okay, I want that to hit home. Okay, it's not about in a youth group setting. Well, you know, somebody just knows me for doing wrong, and I feel bad about that. You know, we should feel bad internally about that, but it's not about that. It's about Him. Okay, your testimony, it does include you, but it's about Christ. You know, I want people to think great of Him. I want people to be able to see His glory in all of its fullness. And I don't want to get in the way of that. It's not, oh, nobody likes me. Oh, No, it's all about Him. And your testimony, it's all about Christ. Hey, go ahead quickly with me. Go ahead, Matthew chapter 6, very quickly. We can not only lose our testimony, but if we're not careful, we can lose rewards. Go ahead, Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, read a couple of verses here. Verses 19 and 20 of Matthew 6. The Bible says, lay up for yourselves treasures, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth rusteth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rusteth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. And we see here that there are rewards that we can receive of the Lord. Rewards are really neat study in Scripture. We see the Lord presents crowns to us for certain things and lays up crowns for us in heaven. And that's a fascinating thing. But we can, in fact, lose a reward. And that should concern all of us. You know, we do things to please the Lord. That's wonderful. But the Lord rewards us as we do what's right. And that's a great thing as well. But how does that happen? How do we lose these rewards? Well, rewards are often lost because of investing in the wrong things. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Investing in the wrong things. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I want everybody to see this. Please try to stay focused here as we finish out Sunday school. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And notice verse 10 when it says here, according to the grace of God which is given unto me, as which a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereupon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Sometimes rewards are lost because of investing in the wrong things. You know, we make this mistake when we become all about this life. When we focus on things that are maybe important or have a place, but they're not the main priority. You know, people make this mistake when they make the mantra, hey, I'm going to make all the money I can, you know, about their life. They just say, hey, I want to make a lot of money, and that's what I'm living for. Okay, well, that's, you're investing in the wrong thing. And people do that when they pursue some type of fame or position. Be careful about investing in the wrong thing, because that's one way that we can certainly lose reward, and Paul talks about that here. Sometimes rewards are forfeited because of wrong motives. Another reason rewards are forfeited is because of a lack of investment. And the truth is, Jesus tells us the path to investing in eternity, investing in eternal rewards, and that comes through laying up treasures in heaven. Give me a way that we can lay up treasure in heaven. Somebody give me a way that that's possible. How do we lay up treasure in heaven? Andrew. Like specifically, what's something reward worthy? Okay. Yes, Brother Nathan.
Service activity.
Hey, absolutely. Coming out, not saying, well, I specialize in pouring water. I need that position. But coming and saying, hey, I'll serve wherever I can. Where do you need me? Service activity, doing something for others. What's something else? Something else. I like how specific that was. That was good. Somebody else? Yes. Being helpful. Good. How can you be helpful? Yes. Yeah. Okay. All right. Yes, sir. Yeah, absolutely. Good. What about like emptying the dishwasher without your parents having to tell you? Hey, that's a nice thing to do. It's a helpful thing to do. What about washing the dishes in the sink that have been piled up for 3 days? Ooh, that's a hard thing, Brother Scott. You're right, it is. All right. But hey, rewards. Yes. Mission trips. Yeah. Taking mission trips. Yeah. Working to be able to take a mission trip. Yeah. And the list goes on and on. Right, guys? The point is, listen, hey, we can forfeit rewards when we don't have the right motive, when we're not investing in the eternal. And last of all, and we've already heard the bell, but let's just get it out because next week we're starting another vein. But we can lose the joy of our salvation. We can lose the joy of our salvation. And to me, this is just really one of the saddest of the three, because of how much joy and satisfaction and pleasure comes from a relationship with God. But you can lose the joy of your salvation. Psalm 51 and verse 12. David is in a position where he has lost that, and he goes to the Lord. He says this. He asks the Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And, just a sad place to be. You know, this is a person there's a hardness that has set in. There is a cloud that is covering their life. And David realizes that he is deficient of this. Now, I think the important thing for us to remember is that it took a while for David to get here. You know, remember the position that David was in for a while. He committed wrongdoing, the Bathsheba. He killed Uriah, and then there's some time in here. He's just sort of put his head down and he's just doing his kingly duties. He's going forward. He's sort of acting like everything is okay. He's trying to even maybe convince himself that everything is okay and that just going to kind of continue on. And he's in this position here where he's not even in touch with the fact that his relationship with God has been cut off, and that he in himself is void of joy that comes from God. And I think this is very telling, because you and I, a person who maybe has severed their tie with the Lord, their connection with God, by having sin that is in between, does not always think clearly. It does not always perceive things correctly. The judgment is cloudy. The perception of the situation may be just a little bit foggy. And so sometimes people are in a place where they've not really contemplated the fact that, I did used to be more joyful in the Lord. I did used to experience sort of a happiness in my life when it came to just doing the right thing. And David's in a spot now where he realizes that. He says, Lord, I don't have that. Lord, I've lost that. Lord, would you restore it? You know, there may be times that you may look around, you may say, you know, I've lost some of my testimony for the Lord. You know, I see joy that I once had. I don't really have that right now. Can I tell you this, that joy in the Lord and your testimony in the Lord are both restored in the very same fashion, by seeking forgiveness and focusing on faithfulness. Both of those things bring back a testimony for the Lord. Restore joy to your Christian walk. Rewards are a little different story. Rewards are not retroactive. Okay? When we didn't do something in the right spirit yesterday, we don't get a chance to reclaim those rewards. But we do get a new opportunity today to change our attitude, to change our motive, to make sure that we are investing in eternal things. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're thankful that even though there are some things that we can lose in our Christian life, Lord, there's a whole lot that we cannot. Lord, thank you for the salvation that we have in you that is not in jeopardy. But Lord, we understand that our fellowship with you is. Lord, I pray that we would not let even hours eclipse upon, Lord, something that has come between ourselves and you. I pray, God, that if there's someone here today, Lord, they've been putting on the face. Lord, the outward has become more important than the inward. I pray, Father, that they change their perspective. Lord, help each one of us to, Lord, have an eternal perspective as we live for you today. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for the truths that we've looked at today. We ask you to help us to live them. In your name we pray. Amen.